Hey everyone, I am back with Brooklyn to tell you more about
Make Crate.
We are loving it. We are on the road this summer to finish filming for the documentary, and one of the very few things we brought with us was our
Make Crate.
Brooklyn, tell people who don't know what Make Crate is.
Make Crate is a fun, hands-on electronics kit paired with an online platform to teach your kids coding fundamentals and engineering skills.
That's right. And there are so many fun things you can do with it. You can make
electronic games, instruments, clocks, a burglar alarm, and lots more.
And lots more fun stuff. And there's no technical expertise required. Where can people find out more about Make Crate?
Go to makecrate.club/SR to order your Make Crate today. And make sure to thank them for this week's transcripts.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. This is Yvette Hampton, your host, and I am really glad to have you with me today. I hope you are having a great day, whether you are homeschooling or thinking about homeschooling, wherever you are right now. I hope that you are just being blessed today, and I hope that this episode will be a great blessing to you. I have my sweet friend Brittany on with me today, and we're going to talk today about homeschooling with little kids. She has multiple ages, and working from home while homeschooling. So Brittany, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you on.
Thanks so much. It's such an honor to be here.
Yeah. So people may or may not recognize your voice as you speak through the podcast today, because in our very first Schoolhouse Rocked movie trailer that came out about a year and a half ago, maybe a little less than that, at the very beginning, it's your voice who comes on and you say something to the effect of, you know, I thought that I felt like I was doing it all wrong. Mm-hmm. And so that is Brittany's voice that you hear. And so now you get to hear her on the podcast and be encouraged by her. So tell us about your family.
Okay, so I have five children. They range from toddlers all the way to teenagers, and we have always homeschooled. What else do you want to know?
That's a great introduction. You are married to your wonderful husband, Anthony. So, yeah, you guys have a great family. How long have you been homeschooling, and how did you get started with homeschooling?
That's a great question. So, I feel like we have always homeschooled since we became parents, because I believe that homeschooling starts at birth. I don't think homeschooling begins with a formal curriculum. So in that sense, we have always done it. So 17 years, my oldest just turned 17 yesterday.
Wow.
And as far as a formal curriculum, yeah, we started right away when he was in kindergarten. And I have just always valued freedom. Freedom is a word that is super important to me, and I wanted that freedom with my children's education as well. I wanted to be free to choose what they were going to be learning. I wanted the freedom to choose what influences were going to be in their lives, because, you know, when they're not with you all the time, you really don't have that freedom to choose what influences are going to come into their lives. And so I wanted that freedom as well, and just wanted the freedom to give them an individualized education rather than you're 8 years old, you learn this, you know, kind of in a box type model. I wanted the freedom to encourage them to pursue whatever their talents, gifts, and abilities that God had given them are. And so I also wanted freedom to be able to protect them from, you know, just worldly things and things like that.
Yeah. You have multiple ages. Like you said, your youngest one is just going into preschool and your oldest is finishing out his junior year this year. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions that we get asked all the time is, how do you homeschool with multiple ages? And what do you do with those little ones when you're trying to focus on homeschooling the older ones? How have you learned how to balance the different ages?
Yeah, that's a great question too. So the struggle is real. Lots of things. So I have lots of thoughts on this. So it is definitely difficult when they are little, but I think implementing a few simple systems really help. So when my littles were even smaller than they are now, I had like a toy rotation system. And so I had like four different bins of toys they were labeled week one, week two, week three, week four. And I would give them one box at a time for a week with just, that was the only time they could play with those toys from that box was that week. The other three boxes would go in the attic, out of sight, out of mind. And so every week they would feel like they were getting a new box of toys. And so I could have my littles playing with their new box of toys for a period of time while I was working with the older ones. And that would keep them occupied and entertained. Another thing I would do was playpen time, just train those littles to play independently and not depend on someone else for their entertainment. And another thing is having older ones work with the little ones while you are doing one-on-one instruction. So I did a lot of that because I do have, you know, like a broad range. So if, you know, I might have an 8-year-old work with a 2-year-old while I'm working with the 10-year-old, et cetera. I think another thing that's really important is to delegate when you can, because I do have 5 kids. So there's no way that I, as one person, can teach my 5 children everything they need to know about life, faith, health, like everything they need to know. And so I've learned to delegate well. I like to say that I've hired master tutors to teach my children 2 plus 2 and things like that, things that I don't necessarily feel like I have to be the only one who teaches them that. So we do a lot of online learning. We do a lot of video lessons and things like that. So that is delegating.
Okay.
And I will teach them the things that I'm really passionate about. So, and then delegate everything else. So like I'll delegate their math. They'll do, you know, like BJU online, or they've done teaching textbooks. They do Saxon online. There's a lot of different things you can do. The options are endless at this point. But I will teach them things like Bible or, you know, just things like that, that I feel like I do want to be the primary influence. I will teach them the things like that. Another thing is train them to be independent learners. So if you just teach your children how to learn, they can learn anything they want to learn. And I will never forget the day my oldest son, he was probably 15 or so, 15 years old at the time, but I was cooking dinner and he walks in the kitchen. He's like, "Hey mom, guess what? I'm on iTunes." And I was like, "Really? How did you do that?" He taught himself to play guitar. He taught himself to write music. He taught himself anything he wanted to know about performing, music, all of that. Now he writes songs. He's a musician. He's a an artist. And I have not taught him any of that. All I taught him was how to learn. And so if you just start there and don't feel like you have to be the one that teaches them everything, you do want to be a primary influence, but you're not necessarily the one that has to teach them everything, then they can learn a lot on their own. So my children do not feel like they're dependent on me to get all of their schoolwork done. They just know what their responsibilities are and they go and do it. And then the last thing would be in a group. So anything that you can do in a group, such as memory work or just grouping kids together that are similar in age or level, then you can get a lot more accomplished that way too.
So let me go back to teaching them how to learn, because oftentimes we say that in the homeschool world, and especially for the mom who's brand new at homeschooling or who's just thinking about homeschooling, the big question is always, well, how do you do that? How do you teach your kids how to learn? So how have you gone about doing that with your kids?
So that is a great question too. So I have learned to ask good questions. Whenever my children come to me with a question, I will often do what Jesus did and answer with a question. I don't really directly answer their questions a lot of times. I will just show them where to find the answer instead of answering directly. Even if I know the answer, I will say, "Oh, that's a great question. Why don't you go research that? And then you come tell me what the answer to that is."
That is a fantastic answer. Now, let me, as a mom, one of the things I think about in doing that is there's so much on the internet that could be dangerous for kids. And so do you have a way that if they're going to go use the internet to research something, that you can protect them from seeing something or stumbling upon something that you don't want them to stumble upon?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have internet filters. We use Covenant Eyes.
Okay, great.
So anything that would be questionable would be blocked, but it doesn't necessarily have to be internet-based. Books are also a great resource.
Sure.
So we had tons of books, like you can see. We have lots and lots of books. So if my kid has a question about volcanoes, then I'm going to point them in the direction of a book that would provide the answer.
Right. We went to a thrift store. This was several months ago. And I was with my youngest daughter. And they had a bunch of encyclopedia sets. And I was like, oh, encyclopedias. And she said, what are encyclopedias? And I was like, oh, no, where has our world come that we don't know what encyclopedias are anymore? And so it was really fun. I got to open some of them up with her and actually show her, like, this is how we did it when I was a kid. We did not have the internet. We couldn't just pull anything up on Wikipedia or, you know, ask Siri, tell us about volcanoes. You actually had to research it through a book. You had to go to the library. You had to find resources to bring them into your home in order to actually learn about them. And and so that is a fantastic way, of course, to do that. And I think it's healthy for kids to take that extra step of just saying, you know, it's not everything needs to be found on the internet, because half the time it's not true anyway when you research things online. And so I think finding, but not, of course, not that everything you find in a library is true either, but I think finding other ways to research those things are fantastic. And and having great curriculum in your home that also provide answers, you know, whether it's science or history or reading good literature, things like that, you can find so many answers through those resources as well.
Yes. So, one more thing you can do is ask an expert. Mm-hmm. So just ask them, who do you think we could ask to find out this answer? And then they can start brainstorming of people they know who might be an expert on that. And then just that cultivates leadership skills, social skills, and all of that good stuff.
Yeah, that is fantastic. I love that answer, because people are always excited and willing to help, especially when it comes to kids. And if you're an expert in something, people always want to be that one that someone else comes to and says, hey, how do you do this? Or can you explain this to me? And that's always a blessing to the person who's being asked as well. So
yes,
very, very exciting. You know, I want to ask you, because I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast that it was your voice in the beginning of that interview that we did. So we interviewed you for Schoolhouse Rocked, the movie, and your interview is hands down one of our favorites. And I love it, because what we did with the movie was we interviewed several homeschool experts. You know, we've got the Andrew Poudois and Christopher Perrin and Sarah McKenzie and Heidi St. John and Ken Ham, all those people, and a whole lot more. But we didn't just interview the homeschool convention speakers and writers and experts. We interviewed real families just like you and I, who are in the thick of it right now, who have just figured out this homeschooling thing with the help of other people. And one of the things you said was, you said, I felt like I was messing it all up. And like most homeschool moms, you felt like you were not well enough equipped in the beginning to teach your children at home. Why did you feel that way? And then how have you overcome that feeling?
Well, lots of things. Why did I feel that way? Well, I just thought this could not be right. Like, this cannot be normal for it to be this hard. And also, you know, I don't know if I've shared with you a little bit of my background, but I was actually a teenage mother. Whenever I had my oldest child, I was only 17, and I had no idea how to raise a child. I understood the statistics were stacked against us, but I was determined that I was not going to be a statistic, and neither was my son. And so I got to work learning, how do I raise children who are productive citizens, who love the Lord and all of that. And so I just started reading and learning a ton about just any parenting book from a biblical worldview that I could find. I just knew, I was humble enough to understand that I didn't know it at all. Yeah. And same thing when I decided to homeschool, I just started learning. I just, any book I could find about homeschooling, I would read it. And I did the same thing with building a business. Had no idea how to do any of that either. And so I just decided to learn. And so I believe when I say I teach my children how to learn, I do the same thing myself. So I set that example for them, that there's anything that you want to know, you can learn it. We live in an information age. And so I overcame that feeling of, I don't know what I'm doing, just simply by learning. And also at this point, my children, I have two teenagers, so I am beginning to see that fruit of the diligence that I put in when they were in their younger years. And my younger children benefit from that because now I don't have so much fear attached to the daily activities and wondering, am I doing it right? Because, you know, when I see my smaller ones doing the same things my older ones did, and now I look at my older ones and I'm like, okay, well, I didn't ruin them. They're okay. They're actually doing really well. Mm-hmm. Then that has just given me the confidence to not feel that way now.
Yeah. Did you have a mentor or mentors that came alongside of you? Because I know for myself, when I first got into this and into homeschooling, and I felt like I have no clue what I'm doing, I really needed to have that community around me to just help me figure it out and help figure out what it would look like for my family, because of course it looks differently for every family. And so did you have that in your life? Did you have those who came alongside of you and just encouraged you?
Yes. So when I first started homeschooling, no, I did not. But along the way, I met other people. It was something I had to be very intentional about. Mm-hmm. When I first started homeschooling, I had no idea that there were actually homeschool communities. Mm-hmm. And somehow I heard about it, maybe a year or two into it. And I just showed up one day. I found out where they were meeting and I was scared to death. But I pulled up and the parking lot was full of minivans. So I was like, I must be in the right place. So I met other homeschooling moms and that was extremely helpful as well. Just learning from them, asking questions, good mm-hmm. conversations. And I feel like that is so important and needed mm-hmm. as a homeschooling mom. You definitely need a community of people who can encourage you, especially the ones who have done it successfully.
Right.
Definitely very encouraging.
Yeah. And then you get to come alongside of those other young homeschool moms and encourage and equip them as well, which is such a blessing to be able to do that. So we're going to take a quick break to hear from one of our sponsors. And then when we come back, I want to talk about working from home.
Every year, parents just like you are discovering Classical Conversations, a vibrant, supportive Christian homeschooling program that's been equipping parents since 1997 with the resources, tools, guidance, and encouragement they need to homeschool their children with confidence and prepare them for a lifetime of success. Visit our website at classicalconversations.com to find a nearby community and learn more about homeschooling the Classical Conversations way. Classical Conversations, Christian homeschooling simplified.
Brittany, you are one who, you work from home. You actually have a pretty neat family. And I want to talk about two different things because you work from home and you're able to bring in a pretty significant income and just help support your family financially. But your husband also works from home. And I would love for you to tell the story first about how your boys took a whole lot of time off of what someone would consider traditional school a few years ago, and they helped your husband build the house that you live in, which is a beautiful house. Tell me how that whole scenario unfolded and what impact that has had on your family.
Yes. Well, thank you for the compliment on my house. I do love our home that my husband and my sons built for our family. So my husband is a carpenter. He actually would be considered a lot of different trades, but carpentry is something he's really good at. And so he did endeavor in building our home for us. And they just took a summer to frame the whole thing. And, you know, my boys learned a lot of life skills mm-hmm. and hands-on practical skills. So there were no casualties, although there was one minor injury that's kind of graphic, so I won't go into detail on it. But they learned so much. It brought them together as dad and sons, mm-hmm. and it's skills that they will be able to take, you know, to their family in maybe just a few short years. Who knows?
Yeah, that's great. Talk about being a work at home mama. I was actually recently reading Proverbs 31, and you think about that Proverbs 31 wife and how she toils with her hands. She works and she helps to bring so much stability to her home, not just in caring for her home, but financially. And oftentimes moms need to do that, especially if maybe a mom is working and she wants to stop working so that she can homeschool her kids, or if she's already homeschooling and they're one income family, which of course is very typical for homeschool families, and she needs to just bring in some extra income. How do you go about working from home? You work in sales. How do you do that? How do you balance work and homeschool and family?
And that's a great question too. So I love the Proverbs 31 woman too. And a few years ago, I was just really studying that proverb and taking a close look and evaluating. And I found some things that I was doing right. But one thing I felt like was missing was I wasn't contributing financially. And the Proverbs 31 woman was. She wore many business hats. She was a real estate investor. She made things and sold it. So she was definitely industrious. And I wanted to be her. I wanted to be like just like her. And we were a one-income family. And that sometimes that can be a stretch, because it's not that money's everything, but everything you want to do with your family, it costs money.
Right.
So I did want to bless my family in that way. I was already homeschooling, and I felt like I was doing, you know, being a godly homemaker, but I did start looking for something that I could do that would allow me to keep what is the most important as the most important, but also contribute financially at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so balancing, I would say, again, it goes back to just implementing a few smart systems, because you definitely need to manage your time well. I know in the beginning, when my kids were smaller, especially, there was a lot of getting up early and staying up late. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of working through nap time. There was a lot of, okay, while you're doing your schoolwork independently, mommy's going to work on building this. And things like that. Does that answer your question?
It does. It does. Tell us maybe what a typical day would look like for you at home. And you're saying, you know, get up early, stay up late. But how do you do that to where you're not, because I work from home, I guess I could say now, you know, we're filming the documentary, I'm doing this podcast now. And so even for myself, I find that it's often difficult to balance accomplishing what I need to accomplish. You know, I'm sending emails and making phone calls and podcasting and doing all of these things during the day, and then figuring out how do I bring my girls into that with me? What can I do with them? And then not feeling like I'm ignoring them, because sometimes I find myself doing that, not intentionally ignoring them, but just like, okay, I've got to get this email out. I've got to make this phone call. I have to get on this meeting that I have with a few other people or whatever it is. And feeling like I'm having to kind of push them aside for a time. And so I feel like even for myself, I'm still figuring out how to balance all of that. And like you said, independent work is excellent for the kids, and they're able to do that they're doing that right now. You know, they're in the other room doing their schoolwork. But what would a typical day look like for you? How many hours typically do you work? And then do you bring your kids into your work with you? Do you involve them with that? And how do you do it without feeling like you're ignoring them?
Mm-hmm. Yes, these are all great questions. Okay, so the mom guilt, first of all, let's address that, because that's a very real thing. And I think it's important to understand that balance is not necessarily daily. It's more like over a period of time. So if I were trying to achieve daily balance, I probably would lose my mind, because when you are building a business or building something significant, there will be periods of long hours, but then there will be other periods where you have time off. Mm-hmm. And so there will be a lot of times where you feel like, oh my gosh, I'm working way too much. And then there will be other days where you feel like, oh my gosh, I should be working more, but I'm not. And so I would say be present mentally and not just physically. Mm-hmm. Whenever you're not working, be present. And that is a discipline that anybody can develop. And it's difficult, but that's why it requires discipline.
Right.
But just being present when you are with your children goes a long way. And I think also it's important to realize that you are teaching your children, even when you're not eyeball to eyeball with them, they're learning from you. Mm-hmm. They're learning a work ethic. They're learning what it takes to be successful. They're learning what it takes to build something that's going to impact a lot of people. And they're learning that through watching you. So that should encourage you to keep going, because, you know, you don't have to be in the floor building blocks with your littles all day, every day, right, in order to teach them or build a relationship with them. So sometimes just understanding that the quality, you want quantity too. Mm-hmm. You do want quantity. Nobody wants their career or their business to consume them, but quality really does go a long way. So as far as a typical day is concerned, I get up very early, way before my kids do, several hours before my kids do, so that I can read, because reading is very high on my priority list. And I can work out and take care and have my coffee in silence. That way I'm nice when everybody gets up. So I take care of those things before everybody wakes up, and then I'll wake my kids up and they will get started on their chores. They will get started. We'll have breakfast together, and then everybody just kind of gets busy on their schoolwork or whatever it is, whatever task everybody knows what they need to complete. So we have, basically we have a system, mm-hmm, in place. That way everybody knows what they're supposed to be doing at any given time. And they're not all coming to me waiting for direction all day long. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have to tell everybody what they need. I mean, I do have to get them rolling, but right, once everybody's rolling, they kind of know what to do. So everybody goes to do their schoolwork. I will start working. I don't have any infants at this point, so my day definitely looks a lot different now than it did when I first started. At this point, everyone is actually, you know, doing book work and stuff like that. So we'll all work, sometimes independently, sometimes as a group, depending on what time of day and what subject. We definitely have all of our meals together. And everybody's just pursuing usually whatever subject or interest they have going on at that moment.
Mm-hmm. I find that with my girls, one of the things that I really try to do with them is if I'm in the middle of working and they come to me for anything, I try really hard to stop what I'm doing in that instant and look at them and give them my full attention. And mm-hmm, sometimes that's hard because I'm in the middle of doing something. But I realize more and more that that speaks volumes to them, because they need to know that they are actually the priority over everything else. But at the same time, I still have responsibilities to fulfill what God has called us to do. And, mm-hmm, and so, yeah, it's fun. And I love that we get to have our kids with us at home, and, you know, we're building a family business just like you are, and getting to show them, this is what it looks like to work diligently throughout the day, and teaching them responsibility, because that's important for them to learn. So,
yes. I think another thing I would add is delegating well. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned this earlier, but I delegate most of the housework. My children are all trained. As soon as they can walk, mm-hmm, they are working. Like, yeah. I expect my children to have a work ethic. And I think you can't wait until they're 18 to instill that in them.
Right.
And so as soon as they're able, hey, go help mommy by throwing this diaper in the trash, or like whatever they can do, I expect them to do it. And we have a system for chores. We have a system for schoolwork. So systems help, but just knowing that you can't do everything. So if somebody can do something 80% as well as you can do it, then you should delegate it, and you should do whatever the most important things God has called you to do is.
Yeah, that's right. Well, okay. We have just a couple minutes left of the podcast, but here's what I would love from you. I would love for you to give encouragement to the mom who's listening right now, who's thinking about homeschooling, because at this time of the year, there are many mamas who are thinking about what they're going to do next year for their kids. And they're trying to decide, is this homeschooling thing legit? Is it, can I actually do this? Can you encourage that mom who's considering homeschooling? What would you say to her?
I would say you should. It's worth it. It's not easy, but nothing that's worth building is ever easy, mm-hmm, but it is worth it. And the resources that you have available to you now are unlimited. And so if you want to homeschool, you can homeschool successfully, and you have every tool that you need to be successful at it. And it's worth it.
Yep, it is. I agree completely. And then I want you to do one more encouragement. Encourage the mom who is just tired, who is overwhelmed. She just doesn't know she can continue on for another day. How would you encourage that mom?
So I would say, cry it out. and so cry and like legit cry, because research shows that tears, like stress tears, mm-hmm. they actually do release stress hormones. So crying, the physical act of it, does make you feel better. And then pray, and sometimes pray and cry at the same time. But just know that Rome wasn't built in a day, mm-hmm. and it's the daily consistent effort that's going to produce big results over time. You don't have to do a massive amount every single day. You just have to be consistent. Mm-hmm. So if you're overwhelmed, you could be thinking your expectations may be too high. And that is very common when people start homeschooling.
Yes.
I think homeschooling veterans understand that they don't need as much as what's in those books in order to be educated. So scaling is important, and just knowing the consistency really is the key.
Yep. I agree. Slow down a little bit, take a breath, and get back to it. I love the constant encouragement we get in that God will equip you. He'll give you everything you need to accomplish what he's called you to. So anyway, Brittany, thank you so much for your encouragement today. I love speaking with you, and I know that this is going to be a great and encouraging podcast for those who are listening. We will put links to the show notes on where people can find you. And thank you for your time today. I appreciate it. I love what God is doing with you and your family, and you are a blessing.
Thank you, Yvette. It's such a pleasure.
Hey, everyone. I hope you are having a great summer. We are having such a great time, and we are really excited about the new upcoming season that we have for the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. We have a great lineup already of guests who are going to come on the show with me. But if you have someone that you would really like to hear on the podcast, please email us at podcast@schoolhouserocked.com and let us know who you would like to hear an interview with, and we would love to try to get them on. Hope you guys have a great day, and we'll be back with you again next week.